Joy said, today's message is part of a series, and we've been studying the same passage from the letter to the church at Ephesus for several weeks. Joy is planning for you all to know this by heart by the time we get to the end of the series.
It's only a couple more weeks, so.
So in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving and Christmas, we've been learning how to stand steady in the face of the various pressures and stresses that come with the holiday season. So let's take a minute to review where these stresses come from, according to the writer of Ephesians, who was either Paul, who was a traveling preacher, or one of his assistants writing in his name. So, did you want me to do this? All right. It's a Roman soldier, and he has no armor. He has a helmet, too. The translation says this. We're back to where did those stresses come from? That's what we're going to talk about. So the translation says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it's worth remembering that when you begin to feel overwhelmed by stress, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because there are forces at work in the world that don't want spiritually strong followers of Jesus walking steadily one day at a time toward God's dream for themselves, their families, and God's dream for all of creation. Now, the writer of Ephesians calls these the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil. So we might call them, particularly as we're coming up to the holidays, we might call them the pressure to do everything, or perfect parent syndrome, or consumerism, or addiction to pretending to have it all together, or fear of family conflict. And why associate these things with the devil or the spiritual forces of evil? Think about it. Every November, we have the opportunity to look back over the year and take note of everything we have to be thankful for. Now, I know nobody's year has been perfect. For some people, the past year has been full of trouble. But if you're breathing on Thanksgiving Day, you have something to be thankful for. And even the difficulties could have been worse. So take a minute right now, I'm going to give you a minute, and think about all the blessings you have experienced since last Thanksgiving. Think about the answered prayers. All the pleasant surprises. All the things you worried about that didn't happen after all. Now, do you think that the negative forces in the universe want you to be thankful, grateful, feeling blessed? No, they do not. Evil feeds on anxiety, feeds on resentment and panic and feelings of insecurity. Because if you're focused on how bad things are for you, the next thing you will do is find someone to blame. Yourself, another person, or God. Now, right after Thanksgiving comes Advent, which is a period of 4 weeks during which we reflect on the amazing truth that the God who created the entire universe decided, after centuries of trying to communicate with us about how much God loves and values us, that there was just no other choice except to come down into the mess we had made of God's good creation and actually become a human being in order to show us the love of God firsthand. Now, I used to be a teacher, and what I did was talk to a group of students every day for a whole semester, well, not every day, 3 times a week, for a whole semester, give them things to read, answer their questions. Then, at the end of the semester, after I had explained and answered and met with them individually and done all that, there was a final exam. And at that point, it was up to them. They passed or they failed. End of story. But look at what God did instead. God explained and inspired scripture and sent teachers and prophets and leaders and poets so that it would be perfectly clear how to live free and whole in God's creation. And when we had failed every exam and chosen every addiction instead of freedom and every poison and every lie instead of God's life-giving love, what did God do? God came in person to demonstrate what it looks like to be a real, free human being. Now, do you think that the forces of evil in the universe want you to take that in? No, they do not. They want you to be focused on spending money you don't have to impress people you don't need to impress. They want you to go to every party that somebody plans, pretend to be someone you are not, and drink enough to make a fool of yourself, and work all the next day with a hangover. They want you to go into credit card debt or take out a payday loan to buy love that can't be bought, or to try to show love that can't be shown by spending money. They want you to start 2023 worn out, angry, and facing bills you never should have run up in the first place, so that you forget to be thankful and peaceful and ready for what comes next. But the various pieces of the armor of God in this passage will protect you and help you stand steady and prepared and at peace. Now, our pastors and Adam have shown us the protection we get from truth, from righteousness, from the good news of peace, and how faith protects us from the flaming arrows of evil. So today, we're looking at what Scripture calls the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. So, this imagery of protective armor shows up in another New Testament passage as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 urges the Christians in that Greek city to put on the breastplate of faith and hope and the helmet that is hope for salvation. Now, somebody tell us what part of the body the helmet protects. The head. Right. And your head protects your brain, which is what you use to think. Now, what exactly is salvation? If someone saves you from something, what does that person do?
Fight.
Fight?
Yeah.
Okay. Fight. But in order to do what? Fight in order to do what?
Keep yourself safe.
rescue you, right, from whatever danger you are in or about to be in. Now, one of the most important truths of the gospel is that we do not rescue or save ourselves. Spiritual evil and spiritual death are stronger than we are. Only God is stronger than evil and death. Okay? Now, you may be familiar with Romans 12:19, where Paul says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Now, when a New Testament writer says, "It is written," that means you should look for whatever it is in the Old Testament. And the closest I could come to where that place is written in Paul's Bible is Isaiah 63:4, where the prophet says that since no one else is going to rescue Judah from its enemies, God will do it alone. Here's what the passage says. "For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors." In the Old Testament, God's people need to be rescued from their oppressors. In the New Testament, God's people are forbidden to take revenge on their enemies because it is God's job to take revenge on evil. And in Ephesians, we learn why it's God's job. Because the human beings that we think are our enemies are not the problem. And taking revenge on human beings will not solve the problem, even though we often imagine it will make us feel a lot better. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Heavenly rooms. Even the crucifixion of Jesus, which was clearly carried out by the Romans, not by the Jews, by the way, is attributed by Paul to the powers of spiritual evil in 1 Corinthians 2:7-8. "But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." When Paul uses the phrase "rulers of this age," he means the evil forces that motivate human beings to do evil. When he refers to the Roman rulers, he doesn't call them the rulers of this age. He says that they have been instituted by God. Right? "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God." Now, please remember that Paul wrote this when the Romans were in charge and when the Romans were not persecuting the Christians. This is early, right, in the history of Christianity. The Romans were not persecuting Christians, okay? In the New Testament, when you get to the period when the Romans are dangerous, you get a different story, okay? So in other words, this passage about being subject to the governing authorities, which, by the way, you really don't have a choice about, but they're avenues of resistance when the governing authorities are being motivated by the powers of evil. Right? Sideline. Spiritual evil and spiritual death are stronger than we are. Only God is stronger than evil and death. Jesus proved that by walking out of the tomb on Easter morning after evil and death had done all they could do to stop him. That victory, that salvation, that rescue are ours when we entrust ourselves to the God who has come in person to give us that gift of rescue. The helmet that that protects our minds from panic and addiction and fear and anxiety is the hope of rescue that comes only from God. Now, education is important. It's important to educate our minds. It's important because it protects us from ignorance, which evil loves to take advantage of, yep, and gives us skills for making a difference in our world. And the other good thing about education is it teaches you to read, which gives you something to do besides watch television. But the only thing that protects our minds from evil and negativity is the certain hope that God is coming to our rescue. Not just once, but every minute that we turn to God instead of relying on ourselves or on all the substances and relationships and ideologies that we are addicted to. We can stand firm and steady against the panic that says that if my party loses this election, then all hell will break loose. We can stand firm and steady against the worry and regret and resentment that makes us forget to feel thankful. We can stand firm and steady against the addiction to overspending and overeating and overpartying. We can take deep breaths and remember what God has already done to rescue and save and deliver us, and place our trust and our hope in the certainty that God is faithful and reliable to keep on rescuing and saving and delivering us through everything that the forces of evil throw at us today, tomorrow, and all the way to the end. Amen.